Welcome to VFN Radio. My name is Pat Hamilton, and standing in today for Greg Lancaster is the one, the only, John Paul Ramos. Just want to give a quick shout out to Maria in the Bronx, taking the gospel to South Bronx. Go, girl. Chris, Beach Haven, man. I love you, man. So proud of you, bro. Brett and Sharon out in Colorado. Sharon, thank you so much for your prayers the other day. They meant so much to me. Thank you so much. The Lord is with you. Peter, Beach Haven, wow, you so encouraged me. Your hunger for God is so inspiring. Man, keep listening to VFN Radio, man. It's awesome. Pastor Debbie Patterson, awesome, you go, girl.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be hosting VFN Radio today, filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pat. We have so much to talk about today.
Oh
my goodness. But what I want to say here today, that the Lord is good, Pat.
Yes,
all the time.
All the time.
All the time. I want to say, oh my goodness, to our listeners, if you belong to God, oh my God, it's all going to work out today. Oh my goodness. And every day as Jesus is Lord. Think about it. If you have 10 fingers on your hands, if you have 10 toes on your feet, you are blessed, Pat.
Amen.
I mean, I think about that. There's people in the hospital right now. Now, those people have some problems today. You know, there's someone right now who's homeless, and bless their heart, they have some problems today. And we need to pray for them and reach out to them. But we are blessed and highly, highly favored. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and the future." Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, Pat. Well, Pat, I got to ask you, man. I got to tell you, I've been watching these Olympics, man. I a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, catching
really?
Some
How do
glimpse.
You have time for that?
just a few minutes, just a few minutes, you know. Listen, they have an app for everything, you know. Just catch it on the app, catch it on the fly, you know.
I know.
Well, I'm really inspired. You know, I hear that Michael Phelps now is the most decorated gold medalist now, or medalist, should I say.
Uh-huh.
And so pretty interesting. Michael Phelps, and I heard the women's gymnastics team took the gold. I think this is the first time. Yeah.
Very good. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes, first time since, I think, 1996. So they're doing good.
Wow.
But I tell you, you look at these athletes, you look at the training, you look at their bodies, Pat, not like ours, are in the top, you know, tip-top shape. You know what I mean? They're cut.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, Okay, never mind.
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah, you know, so they were inspiring me. I said, you know, maybe I need to work out some. You know, maybe I need to, you know, get some of those ripped abs like Michael Phelps there. And I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. And then I thought about that work. And I said, you know, there's got to be, Pat, an easier way to do this. Okay, there's got to be a way how we can get ripped. Right. All right. Uh-huh. And so I just happened to find a little ad here, if you will, mm-hmm. that they're offering this thing called Abhancer. Abhancer. Uh-huh. Now listen here, okay? This thing here is lightweight frame, okay? Mm-hmm. It has adjustable straps, all right? Uh-huh. So it can fit even the roundest of us, okay?
Okay.
It fits beneath the clothing. I want you to think of this. Think of it like a grill, if you will, a metal grill that has the outline of a six pack.
Oh, like yeah. Fits under your clothes?
Absolutely.
Like then a girdle.
Now you're talking, brother.
Oh,
all right?
My goodness.
And you put the strap on nice and tight, kind of wear it for, you know, 24 hours. You can't move or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
But after that, you'll have an imprinted six-pack, man. And I'll tell you what, you and I can go a long way with that.
Oh, my. Okay.
I was thinking about you, man. I was thinking about you.
Really?
Six packs, you know, six pack in a few minutes, right, you know, or a few hours. But I think we'll put that on the torch. I actually have a picture of that. It is hilarious when I saw
goodness.
It. Yeah, the guy sitting down watching TV while he's, you know, he's training his six pack, his cuts there. But you know, last week on really on a serious note, back, you know, to talk a little bit about these Olympians. You know, we talked Monday about Gabby Douglas and how she is a believer. I think that is so awesome, Pat. Mm-hmm. When athletes, and we've talked about them, Jeremy Lin, mm-hmm. who was formerly from the Knicks, but now you know is the Houston Rockets.
That's right.
And oh, my goodness. He can play ball, and he's intelligent, and loves God. You know, he's a Harvard graduate, right? It's like, oh,
Harvard?
this guy has the whole package. Yeah, man. He said, I want to be a preacher one day.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, you are preaching now, you know?
That's right.
So you got Jeremy Lin, Drew Brees, awesome,
yep.
Tim Tebow, R.A. Dickey, and Josh Hamilton from the Texas. But it's so awesome. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's just the time that we live in. I know that people are coming to Jesus everywhere, Pat. And it's so cool and refreshing when you see sports athletes that are coming out and say, hey, listen, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to give him all the glory. I'm going to give him all the honor because I wouldn't be here without him.
That's right.
You know? So what, you know, we talked about Gabby Douglas and we talked about how when they asked her, she qualified for the women's all around team. Okay. She basically, they asked her, you know, what happened here? You know what? I know that you get nervous and, you know, cause mm-hmm. she has a history of this, I guess. And what happened? You get nervous and you were so poised. I mean, mm-hmm. you made it. You did well. And she says, listen, basically, I meditate on scripture. Right. I meditate on the word of God.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
This is in front of the whole world, you know. And
That's
she says,
awesome.
I give glory to God. And God's lifting this young lady up. You know, I saw mm-hmm. her give a testimony about just how her mom ministered to her and would send her scriptures and she'd pray. And she recognizes that, hey, this is all about God and really not about her. She's 16 mm-hmm. years old. Family went through major sacrifices for her to be there.
Oh, wow.
And I just think that's so cool. But, you know, today I want to share with you another Olympian. And her name is Francesca Bacori. Okay. And, oh, my goodness, these sprinters, you know, I can't run. I can't run from here to the driveway. Okay. How they run and do the things that they do amazes me. But I have a little video here. I want a little audio here. I want you to listen to and a little background about her story and who she is. Okay, let's just go ahead and listen. And
with
listen
wings up. On her feet and Christ in her heart, Francina Bacori prepares for the 2012 Olympics in London. The 23-year-old graduate of Hampton University in Hampton, Virginia, will compete in the 400 meters and the 4x400 meter relay. The 400 meters is a grueling race, a near all-out sprint for a full lap around the track.
This is a tough race, but you know, if you have faith in God and faith in yourself and just faith in your training and, you know, what you've been working towards, it can be fun. You know, it's all about your mindset.
Francina is definitely focused, currently holding the American indoor record for 400 meters. She puts in the work on the track and in the weight room. Her training paid off in June when she placed third at the U.S. Olympic trials, earning a spot on Team USA.
It was just great to see my dream unfold before my eyes.
Francina already has one gold medal on her resume. She anchored Team USA to victory in the 4x400 relay at the World Championships in Korea last year. But there's something special about Olympic gold. She says hearing the national anthem at the Olympics would be a dream come true.
I can't even describe the feeling. You know, last year at World Championships, I got that opportunity, and it was so much emotion. You know, at first I thought, you know, I'm just going to stand up here and get a medal, but you just feel so proud, you know, to see them raise your flag the highest.
Ultimately, Francina says she wants to win for Jesus Christ.
I tell my friends and family all the time, Jesus is the one who gave me this ability. You know, I can't get out here and run on the track by myself. You know, it's all him. He blessed me with this talent, and I just want to use it to glorify him.
This Olympian believes no matter how fast she runs, it's important to not get ahead of Jesus, making sure he is leading the way on and off the track.
I know that's right.
Mark Martin, CBN News, Hampton, Virginia.
Is that awesome?
Wow, that's good.
Is that awesome? I mean, hey, give praise and glory to God. And, you know, that's the amazing thing that we can all look back and just be encouraged. I mean, if the Lord is on your side, or better yet, if you are on the Lord's side, right, you know, it's all about glorifying him. You know, and I want to encourage our listeners this morning as you're probably maybe driving into the office or getting there to the workplace. I want to encourage you today. I know that you have seen, you know, some dissatisfaction out there. I mean, you look at what's going on in the economy and you're looking at what's going on in the jobs right now. Pat, I think unemployment is around 9-10%. You know, and there's a lot of people that are unemployed, and people that are working right now, they are carrying a heavy load. I've been hearing report after report about how departments are shrinking and you know, employees are having to pick up extra loads and do some extra things. Right. And so, you know, people are taxed out there, and you start hearing people become dissatisfied. It's all like, oh my goodness, I'm working harder, I'm doing more things. Right. And you start hearing this grumbling, you know. Mm-hmm. You hear people are dissatisfied about their marriages, and you know, they're just not happy, and just maybe looking and searching is like, what, you know, what is going on? You know, people are dissatisfied about their lifestyles, you know, want to have more, got to have more, you know, it's like, what is, and you're hearing this, and maybe you're hearing it at work, or you're hearing it amongst your family, or maybe you're hearing it amongst your friends, and it can be contagious. I mean, you know what I mean? It's goodness, this thing gets in your spirit, man. It gets locked in. You're like, you start looking around saying, I think I deserve that Mercedes Benz. We're like, what was I thinking? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We're blessed, you know, but this sad, it's amazing how dissatisfied one can become, you know? And I believe that this is a major strategy of the enemy, Pat. This is a major strategy to get us to be focused on ourselves. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness. If it, you know, I remember a long time ago, it was Joyce Myers used to go around like a robot saying, what about me? What about me?
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? But it's to become self-focused and totally absorbed with what is going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that God didn't call us to live a self-centered life. He really didn't, you know. The Lord wants us not for everything to revolve around us, but really for us to revolve around the Lord.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth?
That's true.
So, you know, he should be front and center of our heart. You know, he should be the one to fully satisfy. You know, you always got to be careful when you say, man, if I just had this job, everything would be, you're like, careful.
Right.
You know, it's like, did I just live the, you know, if I just got married, this would be so much easier, you know, you know, if my kids, oh my goodness, if my kids were just, and it's like, whatever we put, if we're literally raising up before God,
That's right.
And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and man's chief end, Pat, listen to this. Man's chief end is to glorify God. And if you're a believer, God made you to glorify him. You know, we talked about it. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you breathe, the way you look, the way you act, the things that make you, you. You're one of a kind. You know, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows full well. I'm like, good gracious, David knew he was a bad man. It's like, you know, I'm like, all right, David, you know, self-confidence, you know your God and know he says you're good, you know.
That's right.
But think about it. That's like, wow, that's pretty cool. And so God wants us to glorify him, right? Because that's what it's all about.
That's right.
And
that's what we're made to do, right?
Hello? That's what we're made to do. And life doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. For the believer, it really doesn't make sense if you're focused just on yourself. I don't know if you knew this, Pat, but you know that the moon, you know, we have moonlight, full moon, you see, you know, the lights up, everything. The moon doesn't have any light of its own. It actually reflects the light of the sun.
That's right.
It has no glory of its own. And in this type of media age where you're seeing, I mean, everybody wants to be in front of a camera.
Oh, I know, right?
Everybody's living for a Facebook photo. It's like, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, it's like, it's not about us. And there's different areas in our life that we could begin to really think about and really begin to look at how, as a believer, how can I in my life, how can I begin to give God, the creator, the manager of the Jesus, who saved me, Pat, who rescued me, you know,
that's
and right. I needed a lot of rescue.
You know, I know that's right.
I needed a lot of rescuing.
Talking about myself.
I'm with you. But you think about, like, man, how can I only have one life, Pat. We only have one life. And that's to remember, you know, I try to really remember this. If I had 1,000 lives, Pat, I'd give him 1,000. Mm-hmm. He's just so good.
That's right.
And he's rescued me and saved me from so much.
Oh, I know.
You know, if you're listening, I know we've talked, and I'm sure our radio listeners, you know, if you've had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and he has saved you, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, wow, God, what can I bring to you? What's a sense of gratitude? How can I glorify you in my life? And there's some key areas that we can do that. I mean, you know, one way a believer believer can glorify God is in their purity. What we think about, what do we meditate on, what do we see, what do we, the motives of our heart, keeping ourselves pure, keeping ourselves right in our minds. That is a way that God can get glory. You know, what about if your family? Think about that. You know, there's husbands, there's wives, there's children, there's, you know, everyone in the family plays a role and has a responsibility. You know, we like to talk about that. Everybody in the family plays a responsibility.
That's right.
And has a role. And you know, Pat, we can glorify God in those roles.
That's right.
If you're a parent, you can glorify God by how you raise your children. If you're a son or a daughter, you can glorify God, give God glory by how you obey your parents and do what they tell you to do, right? I mean, this is so important because sometimes we're wondering and thinking, you know, am I insignificant? Does God see me? Well, we know that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. We know this. We know that God's eyes, but sometimes we get attacked and say, you know, do I have to do this huge, amazing thing for God to shine on me? Do I have to do this out, you know, over the top platform experience or something where God says, oh, I'm no. Every single day, you and I, every moment, every hour, really,
all right,
we have a chance to say, you know, God, today, this breath, this moment, this life, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to glorify you because you're worthy. You're worthy. You know, you think about our character and our integrity. Oh, my goodness. We can glorify God in our integrity.
Amen.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doing what we say we're going to do, doing the right thing. You know, man may not see it. Man may not get it. And, you know, oftentimes when you have to do the right thing, oftentimes you're doing it when no one's looking.
That's right.
You know, sometimes, you know, integrity means that you're going to do something even if it costs you something.
Right. That's the sweetest worship.
Exactly. Because you know what? It costs you.
That's right.
It costs you. You know, and others may want to get away with it. And it's like, but you're not doing this for people. You're doing it for God.
That's
you're
right.
doing it for him because his eyes are on you.
That's right.
It's your finances. I mean, Greg talks about this all the time, and he's quoting, you know, George Barna, but 97% of the church in America, I believe,
right,
not even tithing, Pat. Are not
Gosh.
Even tithing.
That's amazing. That's unbelievable.
It's like, how can we glorify God? How can God get honor if we're literally robbing from God? I mean, We've got to have the proper perspective. When you realize that you belong to God and He belongs to you and this is a relationship, you even recognize that your financial purchases are spiritual decisions. You know what I'm saying? Because you're honoring God. You're not wasting. You're thinking. You're not spending money on garbage or sin or whatever. You're thinking, but you know what you're going to do with that. Because really, your finances represent your life.
That's right.
You know, when you spend your money, you're spending your life. So what are you spending your life on? We're talking about how can God get glory. I'm talking to you about how you can be encouraged today. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about how you can begin to start living as a believer a fulfilled, satisfied, faith-filled life, knowing every day, every hour that my God's eyes are upon me, and I'm going to glorify Him to the best of my ability with the grace of God. Amen?
Amen. So, that's good.
So I just get a little excited, Pat, you know. But, you know, I think about this stuff. You think about your entrustments, the things that God's given you, you know. Are they mine, hoarding things, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you can't do that, you can't use that, you know. And, oh, my goodness, you know. Well, last thing I want to talk about really, Pat, is a break, okay? I talk about work.
Right.
And I'll tell you, if you've been working – and right now, sometimes if you believe, you can, like I said, you can become disillusioned. You can come to a place where you're like, okay, the economy is rough. Mm-hmm. Other people's voices are in your ears, which is I recommend that if people are in your ear, get them out of your ear if they're not speaking faith things. Get them out because you got to contend for what saying. You got to contend
with those words. That's right.
Absolutely. They go down. Right, especially if it's gossip, like choice morsels down on the inside, and now you got to walk away with, oh my goodness, they spoke in my ear. Mm-hmm. But maybe you've become comfortable at your workplace. Maybe you become loose and bored. I mean, think about it. You know, someone could be working out there today, and they're realizing, you know, my job, I'm not really, you know, I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. You know, I don't see any room for advancement. I'm not getting paid much, and I don't see any room for advancement. Or more pay, you get careful because you can slip into a thing where you're just trying to survive 8 hours. I'm just doing my job.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial where the guy would get up every morning, time to make the donuts.
Yeah, I remember that.
Time to make the donuts. And he'd just wake up and just like a robot and just do his job, do his thing, you know, or like Fred Flintstone, you know, all right, Bunny Rubble. We're dating ourselves, Pat. You know, but... When the little bird screams, it's time to go home, you know, and he slides down the tail. If that's what we're thinking, then we're not really thriving as believers. We're just trying to survive. And I want to encourage you that you can reclaim your work. Maybe tradition, you know, has told you that your work was insignificant and the only thing spiritual that you can do actually happens in a building, if you will, the church gathers, and that, you know, whatever you do 40, 50 hours a week has no significance. Let me tell you today, your work has value before God.
That's right.
It has value. I mean, Colossians says that whatever you do, Pat, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And not for men. Oh, my goodness. So the first thing you can do, really, is you can start to begin to appreciate the job that you have. You know? And I said, stop sweating the job that you don't have.
That's right.
And start appreciating the job that you do have.
Amen,
you know?
That. Amen.
It's amazing how that job, when you first had it, boy, you were happy to get
it. He was all excited.
Man, 30 minutes early, you know, hour early, sitting in the parking lot waiting to show up. I can stay late, no problem, you know. And, oh, they got benefits and all this type of stuff. Ooh, this is a good job. This is a good job. And then after a while, we become familiar. And it's like, you got to start appreciating the job that you do have. Remember that this is what the Lord is using to take care of you and your family. This is how your family's being taken care of. This is how what's helping you take, you know, feed the family and take care of all the needs that, you know, a family has. It's important.
That's right.
You know, and you got to remind yourself, appreciate the job that you do have. The second thing is, remember that your job doesn't define you. Oh, my goodness. You know, I have spoken to so many believers over the years, and it's amazing. And sometimes men are a little more susceptible to this, but it's amazing how, you know, you can fall into a trap where your job defines who you are. Let me tell you, your job doesn't define. Your job is not your purpose. Your job is the place where you fulfill your purpose. you know? And God is watching. And whatever you do, you can do it all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Dude, can I say dude on VFN Radio? Dude.
You can say dude.
Dude, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That is so awesome that God loves us so much and he just allows us to do our work, whatever we're doing, you know, with the mindset, with the intention, with the idea that, man, I'm doing this for Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'm doing this for the Lord. And when I'm recognized, when the spotlight comes on me, when they recognize me, hey, I'm just going to reflect the glory and say, oh, not in a cheesy way, you know, how they go, you know, point finger up, you know, but you're going to do it in a way that's honorable and respectable and true humility. It's like, you know what? Hey, like the runner said, listen, I'm nothing special. You know, God just gave me this gift.
That's right.
And I'm going to use it. And instead of using it for myself, I'm going to say, hey, this is all about God, all about Jesus and what he's done for me.
That's right.
You know, the last thing really is to recapture your motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And recapture that motivation again. You know, maybe you were working for the raise, but the raise didn't come.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, Pat?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe you were working for the advancement.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave it to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you were working to buy the extra toys and to buy these other things, but the cost of living has risen and you had a setback and now it's like, well, I got more bills than paycheck. I want to say more month in bills and
yeah, right.
You know, I'm just working to pay these bills off right now. I don't have, you know, much. Recapture your motive. I'm trying to give you hope. I'm really trying, because this is so good. When you recapture your motivation for why you get up every day and leave your house, you should be leaving with a pep in your step, Pat, and a stride in your glide. You know what I'm saying? Really? Because you're saying, man, today, these 24 hours, you know, yesterday's over with, tomorrow may never come.
That's right.
But, Pat, today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. All you and I have is today.
That's it.
And that's all we have. So if we can live in the moment, if you will, for God.
Mm-hmm.
Live in the moment. Say, you know what? This hour, these days, I'm going to do everything that I can do to give the Lord Jesus Christ glory out of my life. We'll be back in a few minutes. Take a break.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know, but either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. Or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus. And understanding how control is God and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word. And you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU mm-hmm. that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. So anyway, we didn't get to finish, John, about we were talking about we were talking, I guess it's Friday or something, that we were at the fair, and we're walking to the fair, and we decided to get...
We Pat, you got to be careful about this.
I can't remember. It was so long ago, you know.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah.
The we got on a zipper ride. All I know is that I just did what John said. Got on the zipper. And a zipper is like, it's like a straitjacket made from metal. Yeah, it's like a chair that you're just kind of strapped in, and they close the door, and there's two people in there, you know. And so John and I are sitting in there, and it goes up and down. If you ever seen a zipper ride, maybe we could show you a zipper ride on the blog or something. And John was talking about, you know, be careful, you know, I get sick or something like that, you know. I mean, it's real difficult for me to be in movement and motion and stuff, and I don't have my Dramamine, so I forget what it was. I just didn't think that, you know, that could happen. And so here we are. We're on this ride, and he spins us around. The guy flips us around.
Yeah. So the guy's like, do you want to be flipped? I'm like, no, we just want to enjoy the ride. Flip. Of course, Greg's like, yeah, sir, flip us. Spin us around. I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is going way up. Man.
I wanted to get my 25 cents worth.
Thanks.
So we're flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping. And I said, isn't this fun? And then I looked over at you. And you were sweat beads were coming down your head. And we're locked in this straitjacket of metal. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. It just dawned on me.
Yeah, that's going to do what, bro?
Yeah, like, right.
It's about to happen. I'm like, don't you shake this thing. Stuff.
It dawned on me that you were serious. I think, oh my goodness, he's about to woof his cookie in his straitjacket. And I'm thinking, oh man, of course, I quit rocking it. But I'll never forget that look on your face, man. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
And the rest of the night, remember that?
My goodness, man. I'm thinking,
this could be the moment. This could be the moment.
Oh, I just really believed at that moment when I looked at you, you know, and you were pale face and sweat beads coming down. I'm thinking, it's not going to be good. So I want to encourage you that when you are hearing somebody saying, you know, this could happen or that can happen, I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for retaining all that junk food. Because we never did see it. It just wrote an invitation and said, I'd like to come out. You said no. And I'm very thankful for that.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton. Oh my goodness.
Did you actually woof him though?
I didn't woof him, but my goodness, you know, he's like, oh, come on, let's get on this. You know, I'm like, I don't do these zipper rides. This is not fun. I don't understand. Like, my daughter, like, she loves this stuff, you know, and I'm like, what part of spinning 100 miles an hour? Okay.
I'm with you, bro. I can't handle it either, man.
Are you with me here?
I don't even get on them anymore. I can't handle it.
Oh, and Greg's like, spin it more. Spin it more. Come on. I'm like, dude, I am about to throw up in here. I'm going to pour it right out on you.
Just aim it his way.
Oh, then his eyes got real big. He's like, oh, my goodness, what have I done? I'm stuck with him in here.
Yeah, he wasn't laughing then,
Well, Pat, listen, we were just talking about in part of the first hour here. It's just about glorifying God and how we can really have true joy and true satisfactions when we take our focus off of ourselves and really put it back on the Lord. And so that was just, I mean, I tell you, if we can get this, Pat, if we can get this.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we'd be to get our minds off of ourselves and get out there and start helping people and getting lost? You know,
Amen.
Getting lost in the lives of other people and trying to help them out. I tell you, if you take care of God and God's people, let me tell you, God is faithful. He will take care of you.
Amen.
So, you know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent. Mm-hmm. And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation and of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean, what grade? You know, it's like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade. You know, and come on, let's. Mm-hmm. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence.
I know.
You know, you're thinking baseball, football,
yeah,
video
fireworks,
games. Yeah, you know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I did. You know, I'm speaking for myself.
I don't remember learning it as a kid, to tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then when you do learn, it's just from really, you know, a worldly perspective. And, you know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ. But now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, right. I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I'm a new person here. You know what I'm saying? I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now.
Oh,
it's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised, but I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey.
Right,
but I want
right.
to go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. History. Mm-hmm. I want to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document, you know, and I wanted to see. I mean, there's so much history that. I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took in the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. Philly, if anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed, think about it, nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how many people. I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know of.
Nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no.
Yeah,
when was
right.
the last time you seen them? They're banging the gates. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody want to go over there.
Mm-mm.
You know, and there's a lot of countries like that. Mm-hmm. But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but, Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution,
right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd, but we celebrate July 4th, 1776. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution was in 1787.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned this house.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. You got to go away from the ministry. Oh, yeah. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know.
Right.
So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document.
Mm-hmm.
And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth a nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're gonna put this on the torch. We're gonna put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way, look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to the VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes, I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, that was so good. I want to hear that again.
All right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like, all the radio segments. You can email them. And many, many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening, and this, by all means, please continue to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner, think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh,
Pat.
Cool.
Pat, this is an amazing document.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. And how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
Right,
this
right.
is the king there. It took men and women with guts, with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of so I don't want to say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Pat, those words, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Hello.
Amen.
Acknowledgement of God with certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. And so he goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them, to secure these rights. Okay? We got to talk about this because really, how many people, myself included, you know, how many have we taken the time to read any of our documents?
All right.
You know?
Right.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, check this out, Pat, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about we flip a nation just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying that it's a right. When these people start encroaching, when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights, that's it.
Right.
We, you know, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what they're saying is it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay, and listen to this. The history, he writes, the history, I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence, the history of the present king of Great Britain, I'm going to repeat it again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. And you know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
a ruler who oppresses the poor, okay, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. Mm-hmm. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. I mean, you think about driving rain.
Mm-hmm.
Driving rain, I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planter, but, you know, I've seen crops, you know, I've seen gardens, you know, but you see little seedlings, you know, like, you know, green leafy things, all right? Don't laugh at me. But you see green, and they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of rain, you know, a driving rain. And rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance, you know, saying, you know, it's good. But the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has impressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beat up and just tore up.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, it shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case.
Right.
We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts on what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, it says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them.
Mm-hmm.
He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. He was abolishing their local government, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He was forcing them to house soldiers on their own property. Pat, think about this. He was forcing them.
Right.
Okay? He resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagreed with England. It's like, hello, it's a little bias here.
Right.
You know, how can I get a fair new our judicial system? Although it may not be perfect all the time, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good system.
Right.
And so he resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England, putting military authority and power over civilian authority. Like a police state, if you will.
Right.
It's like, what in the world is the military doing over, you know, restricting their ability to trade with foreign countries, conducting sham trials of government, officials accused of wrongdoing, levying taxes without their consent? And the list just goes on.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, I mean, this is a world superpower at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine the conviction. You got to imagine what the colonists were going through, what these brave men were about to do.
Mm-hmm.
and the height of the suffering and the height of the injustices that were occurring. And so it was time for them to do something. And so they sent this document, and I like it. I'm getting here to the end of it here, and I like where he writes in the Declaration of Independence. He has abdicated the government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas and ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty, perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation.
Wow.
And then later on he goes on to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned. Now these are noble men, Pat. Mm-hmm. We have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. It's like adding insult to injury. I mean, they're saying, listen, I mean, let's work this out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do this, but you're pushing our hand here. And my goodness, I mean, if your leader's like, pay attention, you know what I'm saying? If you're, you know, God listens to the cries of those that are being, you know, falsely persecuted and the injustices that are occurring, God is watching. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes on, and it's amazing how they came together. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, Pat.
All right.
Okay? And so it finishes. They say they're going to, you know, absolve their allegiance from the British crown. Okay? They have a right to be their own nation. And the very last line says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Wow.
What men?
Talk about commitment.
Talk about commitment, man. Talk about faith. Talk about standing up for what's right. And it's going to take, you know, us as Americans, us as believers who love this country, not to sit idly back. You know, and to appreciate that the country that we love, the country that we have the freedom of speech, the country that we can read our Bibles, Pat, that we can can have fellowship in church, that we just shouldn't take it lightly. That the Constitution is something to be admired, to be respected, and absolutely to be defended, because our rights matter.
That's right.
And if we come, you know, and just allow changes to be made just because people wanted to change them. Like, this is not what the founding fathers had in mind. Mm-hmm. And any law that restricts, you know, your ability to worship God, oh my goodness, is no law at all. It's like, wait a minute, you can't restrict, you know, our rights to serve God. So it's important. You know, a lot of names that we hear familiar, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and, you know, Benjamin Franklin. You know, many of these men, 56 of them signed it, and basically they knew that, hey, if this doesn't go well,
that's right,
off with our heads. You know,
they were taking a big chance.
That's right. You know when you're committed when you put your name on it, right?
Amen.
Maybe that's where we got that phrase, put your John Hancock on it, you know, put your signature on it. You know? And so I just want to encourage, you know, America, I want to encourage the church that this is our time to appreciate, you know, our country, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
So tell us about what's going on in the second hour.
Well, actually, in the second hour, we're going to be talking about some really interesting things. Well, of course, we'll always talk about the VFN Torch, okay, and the top three stories, which is really important, and we'll be going over that, as well as doing some looking back at some of the things that occurred. We have some interesting stories that hopefully we can get a chance to talk about, Pat. I mean, I know that I want to share something about Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham just wrote a letter, and oh my goodness, Billy, you're going to love when you hear this, but Billy's heart and his heart for God and his compassion, and it's going to be very, very exciting, as well as we're going to be talking about some God's news behind the news and some other things that are coming up. So stay close, pay attention, and we'll be back.